Drummer Elvin Jones gets things started on this nifty little number, Midnight Walk, recorded in 1966. Brother Thad is on trumpet. Hank Mobley is on tenor sax. Abdullah Ibrahim, he was known at that time as Dollar Brand from South Africa, is on piano. Don Moore on bass and George Abend on percussion. This is the title track of Jones's 1966 album, Alvin Jones, Midnight Walk. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we attempt to pick up from where we left off with each other yesterday. But I gotta make this confession to you. This situation that's unfolding, I find it now not just boring, but tedious. Because it's as if they're acting like this is a very, very, very period in the life of the nation. And to me, it's straightforward. I don't see the great complexities here. I don't see that we have to consider all the factors going on and whether or how they would play out in some kind of a final decision. This is, to me, it's drama. It's drama. And it is meant to make it appear that we're going through such a very difficult time. On one level, that is true. But the way they want us to interpret it, it really isn't that difficult. It's quite straightforward. But we don't have the courage or the guts to look at it and to deal with it that way. We have to make it appear that this was a very, very difficult situation, compounding one issue, compounding the other, and it's one big mess. That I agree. It's one big mess. But again, we still have to admit that we saw it coming. The writing was on the wall 4 years ago. We failed to take note, and we failed to act on information that was readily available and absolutely visible at that time, since 4 years ago. I wonder why this happens. What is the difficulty about tackling a problem when it arises? Immediately when it arises, you tackle the problem. But we let this thing grow and fester and become more and more complex and more complicated. And we have something of one huge mess today. And that leads me to a very odd question. You may think it is an odd question. I had to think about that too. Why am I asking this question now? It concerns the thing we call the vote. Because the circus now involves intense focus on the vote. How will it go?
who will win this election? That's not quite the issue. Although people would say, well, yes, of course it is, because we're talking about all the things that Trump has been doing to subvert the vote, to steal the election, and blah, 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 blah. It's quite boring. We shouldn't have to go through all of this to basically see what the issue is. The issue is not really about the vote, which we have come to regard as the issue now. What's going to happen come November the 3rd? And of course, we will anticipate there'll be a lot of fallout after that. I'm not concerned about it. Because, I repeat, this was evident 4 years ago. It was so clear. But it seems as if we had no appetite to really exercise the power of the franchise then. Even after Donald Trump was elected to office, we didn't lose our power. We didn't lose the power of the vote or the power that the vote gave us. We didn't. We just chose not to do anything about it, not to exercise it, to pretend, well, we'll wait and see how this all turns out. We saw how it turned out. And we had tremendous hints 4 years ago. And now people are trying to convince us that the issue is Donald Trump. I say no, it is not. The issue seems to me to be, we do not really believe in the power of the vote. We don't believe in it. And maybe we have reason not to believe that we can do anything about anything. 4 years ago, Donald Trump took office, but 4 years ago, we had come through a previous administration. So we were acclimated to this business of the vote and what it can do. Whom does it empower? To do what? Now people are holding their heads and running around like chickens without a head, trying to figure out, well, what do we do now? Because the situation is so dire. It was dire 4 years ago. Everything that is bothering people now about this president and about the circumstances we find ourselves in, everything was evident, quite evident, 4 years ago. Are reluctant to exercise the power of our franchise. We think of it as having to do with the election of a head of and even that. And we don't see the utility of it in the ensuing 4 years. We wait for 4 years before we start to consider, well, wait a minute, we have some power. We disfranchised ourselves, it seems to me. The election was held. Donald Trump was declared the winner, His trophy is the highest office of the land. And we said, all right, well, that's done. Let's go home, get some rest, and see. And even when we saw what was next, we didn't want to see what was next. Everything that we're going through now was on the wall. We thought, well, we'll see over the next 4 years what happens. And now we see. So the question I want to ask is about the vote. What do we think about our vote? Does it actually empower us? Does it actually give us the authority to fix certain things that are well within our purview to fix, such as an errant and very untraditional and being very kind president? Why couldn't we have tackled this earlier? It's a big problem. Does the vote prove itself to be an effective tool for freedom and equality in this country? We had 4 years to test that. Well, did we get an answer, or did we get no answer at all, or we didn't like the answer, or we ignored it? Did we take the bait about the vote and what it entitles us to be a system of checks and balances? Was it that we just refused to function in that capacity for 4 years? And even now people are reluctant to even ponder the question. Do we have any right to flex our muscles and be that system of checks and balances? Or is it somebody that we're waiting for, a new person to come in and start the process all over again? Because we really don't want the responsibility of having checks and balances. So we'll just wait it out and see what happens. If, in fact, the vote entitles us to some measure of power as citizens of the country, what was the reason that we waited for 4 years? Despite things were repeatedly pointed out, the media were on top of this. They recited chapter and verse on all the things that were going wrong with this administration. But we seemed to tolerate it quite well. And only now, when there is to be a changing of the guard, we suddenly get very, very conscious of the fact that we have power as citizens to change our circumstances, to not have to tolerate an underperforming president whose mind is shot. So, did we take the bait? The bait that we actually have some kind of power? But in fact, we decided not to exercise any power at all to speak of, and that we would wait it out until the next cycle begins. You see, we can't have it both ways. We talk about the power of the vote. It was, in fact, at front and center of a major upheaval in this country. loosely described as the quest for civil rights and human rights. It was a cornerstone of that effort. People were marching, and people were singing and protesting and doing all kinds of things to help this process along. So therefore, it stands to reason that we must have at one time believed in the power of this thing called the vote to fix our circumstances, to address our unique problems, to guarantee everyone the right to participate, to have our voices heard. What happened? What happened with all that fervor and all that marching and protesting? And the songs, the anthems that were written to affirm our power and our new identity as citizens who mattered in the scheme of things. We were a parallel government. We will not allow certain things to happen that were wrong or illegal or unjust. And yet we experienced more than our share of things that were wrong and illegal and unjust in the past 4 years. And we're acting now as if we're upset. We can't tolerate this behavior. Well, we put up with it for 4 years. So we have some explaining to do. You can't have it both ways. You fighting for rights and power and authority and to change things, to assert your rightful place in a society that has long denied it to us. Okay, well, we got that. But now, how do we explain that we have this conundrum called Donald Trump, and the whole machinery? Now, we have to now go and chase our tails and try to find out where things went wrong, and how can we fix it? And can we fix it in time? Can we retrieve the power that we willingly gave up and lost? Now we find it imperative to become concerned citizens. We took the bait. We became comfortable with falsehoods. We took the propaganda full cloth. We adopted this crazy reality, this alternate reality, that we are part of a society where we're moving forward. We're moving forward together. We're fighting for freedom and equality and all that other stuff. We're not fighting at all. Even now, when things have gone beyond the point of reason in terms of just the acute suffering that would make any normal human being rise up and say, enough is enough. We have an appetite. for being treated this way. We expect it. We tolerate it. We see no reason to fight. We want certain of our needs met, and if we don't even get all of our needs met, that's okay too. Because part of our maturity is an understanding we all can't get what we want. But you fought for it. At one point you said it was important. At one point you said it was part of your rights as a human being in this country, part of your rights as a citizen. But you settled quite easily. And the power structure knows that that's what the reaction would be. So they have no fear of doing whatever they want to do, as this current president has done in his 4 years. Whatever he wanted to do, we let him do it. And we even rationalized it. We said, well, he's crazy, so we'll wait him out. Sure, there were protests here and there, but they were sporadic. They did not continue the line of continuity, of struggle. It's, well, we're going to protest this person being shot, that person being killed, the other person being mistreated, the other one wrongly convicted and put in jail. We do a case-by-case basis. We no longer are involved in the whole picture. We can't take it on, so we don't. We leave it to somebody else, and that's where we are now. And suddenly people want this new formation to come about where we all get together and fight together. I mean, what's wrong? What new medications are we taking? We gave up the very rights that we are fighting for now. We didn't find them to be so important that we should, as my father used to tell us, grapple them onto your breast with hoops of steel. No. In the past 4 years, there's hardly been an effort that called upon us to respond that way, and that made us respond that way. We have to wait until other people send the signals out. And then we say, you know, come to think of it, we're in bad shape too. And now comes the activism, sudden activism. But it's on a case-by-case, instance-by-instance basis. We still have not bothered since from the 1960s, we still have not held course. We still function on a case-by-case basis, which indicates to the people in charge in this country that we can be and are totally controlled. It's embarrassing, I know, to face these questions, but these are legitimate questions. What happened that in the last 4 years, when this president showed us his behind and proceeded on a course that only he knew and only he wanted. We didn't get anything. Vote, 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 vote. Sure, you're voting, but not for your interests. And we're about to see a repeat. Got to vote for Biden. Biden is the most recent, the newest person qualifying for our votes, and that requires that we put on the back burner our unique wants and needs. It encourages us not to make demands. It encourages us to give him a break because he's a nice man. And surely, if we vote for him, he'll recognize that he owes us something. And then it would be up to him to figure out what he owes us and you know, figure out a way to compensate us for our role in putting him in office. So we're back to the old okey-doke. So that's why I thought I would ask a question today. What is this that is happening that we can't see how we are frittering away our power? We don't seem to care. We don't seem to want to protect it. We don't seem to want to hold people accountable, that they should deliver what we need, what we demand. We are not making demands even. Or we get hot and bothered every time there is an egregious case of police brutality or abuse of power. But it is going to flare up, and then it's going to die down, and life just goes on. Everybody's accustomed to the rhythm, and especially those of us who have no reason to adjust to the rhythm. That's the question. This thing called the vote, which we will be called upon to deliver on November the 3rd, and presumably for Biden. Has it been, and is it still, an effective tool for freedom and equality in the United States? Or are we still taking the bait and contented with that, convincing ourselves that that is power? And it's okay. We'll take this break, a short break, and come back to your... Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm your Trace Lead, and the number to call is 888-874-4888. The question being asked today is, what became of our quest for power and specifically through the vote. Does the vote mean anything anymore? Are we aware that we have squandered our currency and continue to do so? As I said, this election, people would say, well, it's a new election coming up on November the 3rd, but we should think quite differently. I want an accounting of what we were doing for the past 4 years, when it was clear, obvious, what was going on with our power. And it didn't seem to bother us at all. 8 Hello, David, are you there?
I've been listening, and okay. I'm going to try to answer your question. As I see it, the ruling class that has these two divisions, Republican and Democrat, in the same party, has got the people in check, and especially Black community, they know anytime there's a egregious event, you know, murdering of people by the police or anything like that, they know how to handle it. They let the victims of this go and, you know, holler and shout for a minute, and then it dies down. Also, they have a group of people like the situation with Obama going down to South Carolina to cool people out, or his secretary of the Justice Department going down to Missouri to do that. So they've got the people in check. There's no expectation for doing anything. They serve up Biden, and he doesn't have to do anything. All they say is he's not Trump, and that's it. That's enough. He doesn't have to promise anything. He doesn't have to do anything. It's just not he's not Trump. So the ruling class is ruling, and they're winning, and the people are losing because the people have not gotten together to outline what is wanted. There's no demand. All it is that get rid of Trump, that's in the Black community, and that's it. And that's the way I see it. There's no demand for what we need. We have a lot of slug politicians who look like certain people, and they're part of not part of the ruling class, but they get thrown all the little bennies of benefits, and they go along with the program, and there's no program or demand for the masses of people to get what they want. So that's why we have some people are not voting at all, and some are voting for somebody who is not interested in us, but he's not Trump. So we're in a very difficult situation at this time.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for contributing. A powerful message, as usual. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Greetings to the beloved family. And we are a beloved family, and we have to figure this out. First of all, I disagree with much of your analysis because you're forgetting about 2018, where people did have some significant wake-up. The House of Representatives was taken back. And it caused a lot of revelations around who Trump really is, what he's doing, the fascism of it. When fascism comes to the fore, you can't get a foothold. Okay, now we have David doesn't deal specifically with the structural problems. For example, the Senate is dominated by Republicans, but they represent 15 million less votes. So, and we're devolving into a situation where 30% of the population will be represented by 70 senators, and 30 senators will be, 30% of the population will have 70% of the, and vice versa. The other thing that's not taken into account is people got punked and suckered in 2016 in terms of who Trump was and where he was going. So the bots, the active measures of the Russians got people to have a mantra, we're not going to get a vote. And that's where we're now, because you've given some excellent treatises on how lunatic and madman Trump is without Mussolini's madman theory that he wrote about.
But politics is a unique experience. Politics is about organizing to get what you want and need in exchange for this thing called the vote. We keep handing over the vote, and there is no recompense, not according to what it is people say, you know, they're expecting in exchange for their support and their vote. They're supposed to get certain things, and we don't get it, and we don't make a fuss about it.
Well, I'm feeling more hopeful in this respect, and I would like David's take on his getting a book by Richard Kreitner called, this is from a progressive angle as opposed to F.H. Buckley, it's called Break It Up, Secession, Division, and the Secret History of America's Imperfect Union. So California and New York pays to states like Kentucky, where we have that O'Connell, that can't even get a stimulus bill to save the economy and to help people, the unemployed, et cetera, in the states and localities. So to me, I'm very excited as I read that, because there's a way to change the system. In fact, karma itself will wind up changing the system. So I always see the glass as half full.
Well, I don't, because I think we've been filling the glass over and over and over again, and we're not getting what we want. So except snookered, we get suckered in. We get told what the new measure of loyalty will be if, you know, African Americans, Latinos, people of color generally continue to vote a particular way. That does not mean that there is seen an obligation to follow through on what this voting, these voting groups represent, what they want, what they have put on the table as demands. They keep getting ignored, and they keep, you know, living with it. I'm just hoping that somewhere there's a fire stoking in the hearts of people that say this is not going to happen anymore. We're putting an end to it.
I think you can count on that, because that's ultimately human nature and the universe itself. I mean, you know, people very quickly say, oh, we can't blame Trump for the pandemic. But actually, you can, because you could say almost the wages of hate and lunacy, you know, you attract what you radiate. You attract what you mentally choose and accept. So, yeah, you're going to have the pandemic and the wildfires. To me, I think karma plays a part, which means we have to move towards structural change. But thank you, Utrice, for letting me have so much to say this afternoon.
Okay, thank you for calling in. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
It's going okay. In regards to your question, I think the problem is that we've let other people define what the vote does for us. And this is why we're in this quandary that you were mentioning about, you know, voting and how, you know, we basically what happened was they weaponized the vote against us. Now, don't get me wrong. Voting is a tool of accessing political power, but it is only one and possibly a small tool to, you know, obtain political power. And so what has happened because of the fact that, you know, civics has been taken out, you know, of most public schools or not being taught at all, you know, we're letting other people define what is voting and what voting can do for us. And so we have this, you know, we have this mixed up definition of what is political power. And so they put voting on top, which, you know, we all know is not the end all be all of political activity. And what David in Brooklyn had brought up, and I was thinking about this too, in regards to, you know, getting politicians to do for us during their terms. And we look at a guy like Donald Trump, and, you know, I've always said Trump is basically a manifestation of what America has always been, a white, rich country. That's what it was made for. It was made for rich white people to live in and thrive. And so when you have somebody like Barack Obama, who we did not ask at all to do anything for us, and particularly the black community, he goes and continues, and we kind of let him off the hook. And so you often wonder why a guy like Donald Trump does not want to denounce, you know, dangerous white supremacists. Well, if you look at that situation that David in Brooklyn had said about, you know, the South Carolina assassination of the senator there, and, you know, the murder of nine people by the white supremacist Dylann Roof, Obama goes to the funeral, and what does he do? He starts singing, and we applaud that. He doesn't denounce it. He doesn't say, you know, white supremacist groups need to go away. We actually applauded that. So when Donald Trump doesn't denounce white supremacy, then he could just turn around and say, well, your president didn't denounce it either. Matter of fact, he was singing hymns and acting like a Baptist preacher.
Can you just add something to what you're talking about? It wasn't that the people were killed. That wasn't the only thing that happened there. Mm-hmm. There was an assassination in that church. The pastor of that church was also an elected official.
Yes, he was an elected official. Yes, he was.
And no action was taken on that count against Mr. Roof.
But not they even a denunciation.
They still would not categorize it as an assassination. He went there and purposely prepared to kill this pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
But you know, Utrice, in a sense, like I was saying before, when you don't demand anything from your politicians, the next people who come in line are just going to say, well, the last person, you didn't demand anything from them. So this is why I bring up this point, because, you know, obviously, if a group of black people came in and shot up a church full of white people, you know, Donald Trump will be up front talking about, we got to get rid of these black extremists, you know, or Antifa, or whoever he's going to say, the Black Panther Party or whatever, because he's going to try to protect his base. But, you know, like I said, we didn't demand anything from Obama, and this is what we got from Trump.
Well, you have a point, I have to say. That is a very strong point, as a matter of fact. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing today. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How's by you?
Oh, me and my sons are still here. You know, I'm a little upset with you. What do you mean I can't have my microwave justice and political rights? Like I can have my microwave pizza, you know? I mean, come on. This is the country of the quick fix and the fast resolution, you know? Have a headache, take a pill. Want something to eat, throw it in the microwave, and the minute it's done. This goes back far beyond Trump. This goes back far beyond Bush. As far as I can remember, this goes back to the days of Ronald Reagan, when we let an actor who was governor of California become the president, and we put up with all the shenanigans that he did, from Iran-Contra to the beginning of homelessness, all of these things that Reagan did, and people went along with. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. You must be vigilant. Like it's been said, voting is a part of the tool case, but it's not the only tool. And you've got to have something to vote for. You've got to have a platform. You've got to have objectives. And you've got to have people that you groom to represent those objectives. And then the vote, which is just basically the sealing of the deal, the acknowledging of the person or institution that you are standing with, because they represent your values, your initiatives, and your needs. The vote seals that deal. And that's what we've forgotten. We've become a nation of personalities and not principles. Parties have no platform. Years ago, you could have sincere debates about gun control, about homelessness, about housing, about college access, about higher education. You can have sincere debates about these things because there are pros and cons to each side. But now we've de-evolved into the cult of personality. Oh, I like this guy, or I don't like this guy, or I like how she looks, or I like what he says. That's all garbage. It's all hot horse manure. We got to get back to a point to where, look, we're a community, we're a people, we have certain needs, we have certain desires, and we've come together to form a government to address those needs, to allocate the resources that are in this country to their proper perspective. And until we realize that and take in all that accounts, we're going to be stuck with this garbage for forever. Like I said, empires fall all the time. You got to take a stand. You got to be responsible for what's going on in your environment. And you can't just stand aside and every 4 years or every 2 years run for the guy that you like or vote for the guy that you like and expect him to do something. Because a politician only has one main job, that's to get elected. And after that is to get reelected. And if you don't hold any platform, if you don't hold any substance, if you don't hold any accountability to that, they're going to run the game on you constantly. The mechanisms are there. We just choose that. We choose not to access them.
Well, using this analysis that you just offered, what is the implication here for the situation that we're going through now, experiencing now, leading up to this election and presumably even after it?
Well, everybody's saying, hold your nose, vote for Biden, hold your nose, whatever, you know. I've said it before and I'll say it again. After this, however it comes out, you've got to, my opinion, you've got to get local. You've got to concentrate on what's happening in your locality. You've got to look at the political organizations, the political avenues, the governmental avenues that you have there, and try to implement change on that level. Because that is the only way you get change. The Tea Party was the genesis of what we have now. And how did the Tea Party start? The Tea Party was a grassroots organization, whatever you want to call it, AstroTurf organization, however you want to look at it. If you look at the history of the Tea Party, they started small. They took over districts. They took over counties. They took over Republican parties. They determined how the voting districts was laid out. They had an agenda. They had a plan. They had platforms. They had ideals and values that they wanted people to represent. And the people that got in power through them represented what they wanted, good, bad, or indifferent. But they came with a plan. You've got to start somewhere. You can't start at the top. You start at the bottom. Everything in this world has a beginning, a middle, and an end. You got to start small. You got to build your foundation, control your districts. This is the game that we're handed, and this is the only way you can play this game. You've got to control the districts. You've got to control how votes are allocated. You've got to control where the power comes from. That's the only way you're going to win this. It's not easy, and the work isn't glamorous. But if you don't do it, this is what you get: a madman in the White House, and a country that's facing economic and social ruin.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your analysis today. Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecia, and to the listening audience. In answer to your question, I mean, and all of the callers today have been right on point. And basically the way I see it is that, you know, we've become a nation of sheep, you know, being sort of led around, you know, with a shepherd at the front, and we just go wherever that shepherd leads us. In the movie Network, like the madman said, you know, as long as people, they have their radio tires and, you know, and their TV shows and their food and whatever, and they're satisfied. And so that's the same thing with us. I mean, it's an insult watching TV, the major networks, all of these game shows, adults, grown people running around, jumping like circus performers. You know, everybody wants to be a star, America's next top this, and, you know, all that. And this is the problem. And this is what people are focused on, among other things, including binging on social media. And so it's a disgrace. And hopefully there will be a true awakening and an accounting, not just by the politicians, but by the citizenry at large after this election. And hopefully the lesser of the two evils will prevail or win. But there's got to be a real come to Jesus moment, or come to whoever people pray to moment, because this situation in this country is not sustainable. We're going down the tubes fast, and it's not looking very well.
I agree. And it's very concerning, because
extremely
pretty
so.
Soon it will be beyond the point of return. You know, we will have literally to start something from scratch. We've made quite an investment in the forward thrust of this country, and there's no reason to abandon what has been invested.
True.
But it is an amazing thing to see how blithely we dismiss these important investments that have been made. And it could only lead us to think that, well, we're dispensable.
Yeah.
And in fact, if that is the case, we might as well come face to face with it and admit it and do something about it, because there's no future in
Absolutely.
The way things are going now. There's no future.
I agree.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I want to thank everyone for contributing so meaningfully. I'm very, very honored and proud to be in your company. And
to encourage us to think. That's the big task, to think. To think our way through and to see how we must make amends. We must amend the way we're operating, because it will not be too long before it becomes a matter of extinction. We will be so irrelevant, it would be as if we don't exist. And I think that's the direction that people are hoping that things will go. But we have to resist. We have to resist. I thank you so much for listening today. Let's get together again tomorrow. Bye-bye.